He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar Heels.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Thursday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where it is round one of the Masters, and we'll be providing updates all throughout today's show. But as well as Victor Hovland has shot it today, it's hard to imagine anybody going lower than Cam Newton has this week. Somehow, some way, his story got even sadder. And honestly, it was hard to imagine that was possible after watching Auburn's Pro Day a couple weeks ago. In case you have forgotten, Cam put out a video a few weeks back saying, "There aren't 32 quarterbacks better than me. How are all these randos," I think was the way he put it, "getting signed, and I am not." And it was a video to announce he would be throwing at Auburn's Pro Day, taking the shine from some kids that are trying to impress NFL scouts, while Cam has already had 10 years in the NFL, and here he is trying to get in front of scouts yet again. It was a low move, and I say this as somebody who's a Cam fan. I want to see good things happen to Cam. At that point, I felt that was rock bottom. It doesn't get lower than trying to desperately throw yourself back onto your alma mater's pro day field and try to get in front of NFL scouts that way. But the reaction to that apparently bothered Cam, or one specific aspect of it. He apparently objected to the suggestion that he would not take a backup role. He felt he was better than, you know, some of the starting quarterbacks out there. He said there's not 32 quarterbacks better than I am. So what does Cam do? He goes on his YouTube blog again, his vlog, and he puts out an actual list of quarterbacks he'd like to back up. Listen.
Players that I would back up. Number one, I'll back up Deshaun Watson. My number two person would be wherever Lamar Jackson decides to go. Number three will be Justin Fields, another C1M product. Number four will be Tua Tagovailoa. Number five will be Malik Willis, another C1M All-Star. Jalen Hurts. Number eight would be Aaron Rodgers. Number nine would be Josh Allen. And number 10 would be Sam Howell, another C1N alumna.
If you're wondering, Josh, didn't it just jump from four to number seven? Yeah, he also included some rookie quarterbacks. He wouldn't mind grooming, bringing along guys like Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, and CJ Stroud. Hey, Will Levis, kick rocks, says Cam Newton. This is essentially Cam Newton begging publicly to get signed. Hey, look at me. I want to get in the league. I want to go to the pro day. Oh, I'm going to put out a video saying I'm better than 32 quarterbacks. Please sign me. Now I'm willing to back up. Which teams am I looking to back up for? I'll even list those off. It's about a third of the league. Somebody sign me, please. Pretty please. This is clearly the end. And it's sad. These videos, they're not helping. Sure, these videos might, you know, be good to the people who like Cam Newton. Oh yeah, Cam, you're getting screwed. All these other quarterbacks are getting signed. You're better than those quarterbacks. So you might get affirmation from your fan base. But teams? What GM's watching that thinking, oh, good to know. Good to know that Cam would have no issue being a backup for my team. Good to know. And he doesn't have the physical part of his game anymore. We saw that his second tour of duty in Charlotte. So we know it's a wrap. It just clearly hasn't dawned on Cam yet. And what bums me out is this guy won the MVP and he's out here begging for a job. You don't need to do this, Cam. If they don't want you, you got options elsewhere. You want to play football? Play in the XFL. Be the face of that league if you really want to play football that badly. If you don't want to do that, I'm sure a TV network will take you. I'm sure there are a lot of things that Cam Newton could do. Red carpets you can walk on and do all that. You don't need to be doing this, though. So that's what makes this really sad to follow. On Twitter, at WSJS Radio, if you want in. That's also where we're streaming video, in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton is the executive producer of this show, taking your calls at 336-777-1600. WD, how much of the Masters have you been watching today?
I've had it going on in here the whole time, actually. Well, since I got here today, I don't know what time they started, but
7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I watched all that. I've had it on since maybe around noon.
Keeping an eye on one Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Tiger trying to make a bit of a move late in his round. And if you're a golf fan, make sure you're watching every one of Tiger's shots at Augusta. Because this week does have the feel it could be his last Masters. You never know. They don't tell you most times when something's going to be the last time. If things start to go south again for Tiger, and they very well could, this could be it. Because he is in danger of missing the cut. Now, about a half hour ago, he was at 3 over, and he's birdied back-to-back holes going into his final two. I think he started on 10, so I think he's looking at 8 and 9 to close things out. But consider this. Tiger has one of the more impressive streaks going that's in jeopardy going into tomorrow, and that's the consecutive cuts made streak at the Masters. He's made it 22 consecutive starts. If he were to make the cut tomorrow, he would tie the record set by both Fred Couples and Gary Player for 23 consecutive made cuts at Augusta. He even made it last year. Now, he hasn't had a lot of highlights. He had the chip that was almost an eagle on, I believe it was 17 today, that ended up being a birdie. He's had these back-to-back birdies late, and will continue to keep you posted on Tiger, but he doesn't really strike me as being a threat in this tournament. And he also doesn't strike me as the type of guy who will say, you know, I'm just all right playing to play, even if I am not capable of winning. He doesn't strike me as that guy. He doesn't need the top 10 payouts. He doesn't need to just be out there for the sake of being out there. He only wants to win. That's how he's programmed. And he even says so in his press conferences week after week, year after year that he's playing. And the problem is his playing condition might never improve. He was limping quite a bit again today. I don't think that's going to go away. And the breadcrumbs, they're all there. John Dell, who this week's covering his 26th Masters for the Winston-Salem Journal, said this on yesterday's show.
This could be it. I hate to say that because I'm more interested in Tiger when he plays. I hope that's not the case, but he's 46. You know, that's the age Nicklaus was when he won it in 1986. So I hope he plays, you know, as long as he can, because the sport needs Tiger Woods.
It does. But the only thing I'll push back on what he said there, I don't think golf needs him as much as it did. Because we're happy just to see him. We're happy that he has his leg. We're happy he could be a father to his son. But Tiger was not the central storyline this week at the Masters. Rory McIlroy was. LIV versus PGA Tour. That was a central storyline. Tiger Woods really wasn't. And I don't remember the last time he was in the field and wasn't a central storyline going into Augusta. The breadcrumbs are there. John Dell, if you know golf as well as he does, all the Masters that he's covered. And Tiger, he even said at his press conference this week that he's had the thought, being out on the golf course, that this might be it for me. I might not get another opportunity to do this, or I might not want to be out here again. This might be it. We're not that terribly far off it. And the point that Dell makes about him being 46 and that being the same age as Nicklaus, I don't think is insignificant.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
The because of Good Friday, no live show for us tomorrow. So trying to figure out what I'm going to do, I'm going to go watch the movie Air, starring Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. It's about the Michael Jordan story, how he came to sign with Nike, and Ben Affleck's playing Phil Knight straight out of 1984. I have not seen this movie because it just came out yesterday. But B-Dot, the sixth man of Tar Heel basketball, who joins us now, and we'll play Grammar School in just a few minutes, he has seen this movie without spoilers, Dot. What did you think of the movie Air?
Well, the guy that they want to get the shoes to, he turns out to be a very good basketball player, Josh Graham. I didn't want to spoil it, but I just wanted you to know that part. But it was nostalgic, man. I went with my wife to check the joint out. It was nostalgic, just like different callbacks to different things, which are, I guess, is not a callback if it happens in the future. It's kind of strange, but you'll really enjoy it. I think it was very, very well done as far as the scripting. It was very witty, very comical. And they did a good job of the filming. You know, they did a good job of the characters. And as far as I was concerned, it was very educational. I learned a lot. I can't wait to come back next week and maybe share some things that I really didn't know. Maybe you didn't either when you see this movie. But it was dope, man. I definitely think anybody that, especially if you were a teenager in the 90s, you're going to love this movie because you really vividly remember a lot of things that they were talking about. The only thing I would say is if you're going to see Air, please wear some damn Nikes, okay? Jordans, Nikes, something. I saw people in there with Vans on in the damn movie. Like, no way you go see the Air in some damn Vans. What are you doing?
All right, I'm going to bring the 11s out tomorrow. That's what
there
we're going to do.
There you go, Josh. Right, there you go. Good job.
Bring the 11s out. Okay. Let's play Grammar School since we've got you.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
Brought to you by Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
You doggone right, man. Grammar School is very simple and is brought to you by Heritage Hardwood Floors.
Excellent.
Did you like that, Josh Graham?
Oh, I think that's really good. And I have a caucastic question for you if you want to tee this thing up.
Let's do it.
WD's movie for next week is a movie that might have the best title of a sports movie ever, White Men Can't Jump. Dot, I need you to give me either the actor or the character's name of the one white guy in the movie.
Is it, hold on, is it Woody? Wait, gosh, what is his freaking name? And I know his name in the movie. He's got.
I bet you know the Black Star, and I bet you know the character names too.
Of course I know Wesley Snipes, but we're not talking about Wesley.
What's the character name? Do you know who the character's name is that Snipes
plays? Billy Hoyle.
Billy Hoyle is Woody Harrelson's character.
Woody Harrelson. Yeah. I knew Hoyle. I was about to say Woody Hoyle, but I knew that wasn't right, but I got it right. Thank you.
You did. Sidney Deans and, Billy Hoyle.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you, Josh. I would not have gotten Wesley Snipes' character name, Sidney Deans. I would not have gotten that.
I think the reason why is I think Woody Harrelson's character is a little bit more iconic because we'll talk about it when WD watches the movie. Pretty clearly, yeah. Woody was a lot better basketball player than Wesley Snipes was. Like, Woody Harrelson is an unbelievable basketball player.
WD, it's got the best side boob visual in the history of movies.
It's true.
I have remembered Rosie Perez side boob for 20 years. It is the most, I'm talking about, it is the prettiest
30 years side now
boob you've ever seen.
It's almost 30 years old now.
I'm going into this with high hopes then.
As you should.
You got my soul.
Uh-huh. It's a great movie. Okay. That's your test. You passed it. We'll see how I do.
All right. Up first, Josh Graham. If someone tells you to be about your business, be about your business, what are they saying to you, Josh?
Is it be about your business or yo business?
I guess either way, you could even put a CHO, a show business. Be about your business. Be about your business. Be about your business.
I think it means, doesn't matter. I think that means, I don't think I need help on this one. I think that means to just do what you do with confidence. Put a little bit of swagoo on it. A little bit of confidence. You know, I got my suit jacket on here. Feel pretty good about myself. Be about your business. I'll be about my business on this radio show. That's what I do. Be about your business.
I'll give you that one, Josh Graham. It means get your money. Do your thing. You dig what I'm saying? But yeah, be about your business. When you said be about your business on this radio show, that's what pushed you through. I'll give you that.
Perfect.
Up number two, Josh, what's a blue face?
Blue face. I take it we're not talking about the Blue Man Group.
The what?
336-777-1600.
The hell is the Blue Man Group? What is he talking about?
They're dancers. Look,
what's the difference between the Blue Man Group and the Jabberwockies? The thing that Shaquille O'Neal did.
I know the Jabberwockies. Now, Jabberwockies, they invited to the cookout. Like, them some brothers behind them masks. Them brothers be getting it then. You dig what I'm saying to you?
Yeah. We don't know the skin color of the Blue Man Group. They might be a bunch of white dudes. They also might not be. I don't know.
You never know. I don't know who's behind the Jabberwockies. I just say to them, we just claim them because they're so smooth.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I have, WD, were you behind on Blueface here?
I wasn't behind this.
Okay. Do you have any idea? Should I go to you? Would you go to you if you were me?
I have a guess, okay, but I don't know how strong it is.
All right. So what is your guess? I'm going to go to you.
When you're really angry about something, makes your face all blue.
Why wouldn't your face be red? 336-777-1600. I'm using my lifeline on this turn, but I also want to go to the audience too if they could potentially help me. And if I need to bribe somebody, like I have NC State Wake Forest baseball tickets for the weekend. Deeks are second ranked in the country. They're playing the Wolfpack. Should be a fun weekend out at the couch. I've got a couple of tickets if you want to go to that and you can help me out potentially. WD, who should I go to on the phones?
Kyle the Amazon driver, what do you got?
Yes, what's up, Kyle?
Crap.
What up, Josh? So we on Blueface, right?
Yeah.
That's something you got plenty of. That's a $100 bill, big dog.
Thank you, Kyle the Amazon driver. I'm going to go a hundy.
I'm going to ban Kyle the Amazon driver from calling in and being a lifeline. But that is correct. A blue face is a $100 bill. I wanted you to use WD's answer.
Why
I bet
is it?
You did.
Why is it a hundy? Why does that make sense? Why is it a blue face?
Because it's blue. When's the last time you saw a physical $100 bill? Like, they've got blue, the new hundreds, they're blue. They've got blue faces.
The new ones are, okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, they got blue faces.
I already got the passing grade. I was about to pull out my wallet and just find one of those $100 bills.
Yeah.
What's the last one we've got here?
All right, we're going music, Josh Graham.
Love it.
You can win 1 point to get a perfect score, and then you can answer another question to get extra point, and it'll be the best game you probably have ever had. What artist said this line or said these lines? And for bonus, what song was it?
Okay.
The lines are, from Oakland to Sacktown, the Bay Area and back down. Cali is where they put their Mac down. Give me love.
Okay. I believe it's T.I. And I think it's from the song Bring 'Em Out.
WD, let's see.
From Oakland to Sacktown. No! Cali is where they put their Mac down. Give me love. No! You know what threw me off, Dot. When I heard it referred to Sacktown, all I immediately thought of, that's all I focused on. And it took me to, you hear what I'm saying, right?
Nope.
Let me find the lyrics to this real quick so I can at least defend myself.
Let me give you a big old fat.
Yeah, yeah. I deserve it.
Yeah.
You can definitely do that.
Oh, my gosh.
The Bay Area and back down. Cali is where they put their Mac down. Give me love, California.
Not even close, Josh.
Oh, wow. It's not even Sacktown. It's Shaq now. Still, still balling money stacked taller than Shaq now. Still push a
money stacked taller than Shaq now. Still hitting buttons that left the roof on the lap down. From Mississippi to Philly, Albuquerque to Chattown.
Mississippi, yeah, to Chattown. So that's what I was thinking when I just hear the lyrics being read.
Yeah.
But I feel stupid when I hear the song now. So
yeah, that's great.
B Dot, I love you, bro. Have a great Easter, and I hope to see you next week.
Hey, same to you, bro. Glad I could help.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
After losing its first three matches, Charlotte FC now hasn't lost in three straight as it gets set for a 9:30 kick at Real Salt Lake on Saturday night. You can listen to the game on WSJS. And one of the voices you'll be hearing at that time now joins us. It's Will Pelagic for his weekly visit on the show. And Will, we learned yesterday what process blue was. That's the color the Panthers will be adjusting back to this season. And if the Panthers are process blue, I guess that means Charlotte FC is process blue. So if I were to take process blue off of the board, what is Will Pelagic's favorite blue gradient?
Oof. I was always a big, you know, I mean, I grew up a Met fan, so the Met royal blue is probably what I would go with on that one. So that'd be my preferred shade of blue. That whole process blue thing yesterday, we were on our way to dinner last night. We got in an Uber, and I missed the whole reporting that took place when it came to the guy who said that we weren't going to have silver in the uniform anymore. Like, the first thing that I saw were people who were reporting being like, the Panthers are not changing the uniform. So it was like, I didn't even know that was actually a thing. But apparently it got a lot of hubbub yesterday. And I think Darren Gant was the one who said it best. There were a lot of people yesterday who were racing to be wrong, so to speak.
PSA, whoever's listening to this, the jerseys, the uniforms, they're fine. Make the blue jersey the primary home jersey. Make the black jersey the alternate, because you don't wear the black jersey anyway because of how hot it is Sunday at 1 o'clock for half the season.
I'm totally in lockstep with you there.
Get a home jersey you can wear at home.
Totally in lockstep with you on the blue as the primary. Totally in lockstep with you.
Rather than going deep into the squad as we do each week, I want to talk about sports TV for a second. Because we now have a sample size with what Apple's done with MLS. And for those who don't know, unlike the Hornets or the Hurricanes and what baseball's had for a long time, being broadcast on the regional sports networks like Bally Sports, or back then it was, you know, Fox Sports Carolinas and all that, MLS has gotten out of the RSN business. All of their matches are available on Apple for $12 or $15 a month. And there aren't any blackout rules like you would see with baseball, like I've been trying to overcome watching my Baltimore Orioles, for example. So aside from the national TV matches on ESPN, that's the only way you can watch Charlotte FC here in the Triad. What's the feedback that you've gotten about what MLS has chosen to do, which is kind of groundbreaking?
Well, it's I think it varies market by market, Josh, because there were some markets that had Bally as the option when it came to televising the matches, as opposed to in Charlotte, they were over the air. So you had maybe a different consumption level with Charlotte FC games than, say, Atlanta United, who had theirs on Bally, or FC Dallas, that also was a Bally issue. And a lot of those places have been dealing with a lot of the same carriage issues involving Bally, like we're dealing with from the Hornets and Hurricanes and Braves side. So it always kind of varies between your eye of the beholder and how it goes. I mean, I think it's been a boon for our broadcast because you have the opportunity now with the home games to sync us up with the pretty pictures on the screen, which I think is really, really cool. I think this is honestly the future of where a lot of leagues are going to go. You heard about the Diamond Sports Group, which is the conglomerate that owns all the Bally RSNs, going belly up, if you will. And so the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball are looking for a way to try and make sure that those games hit the air, because I think all the payments are somewhat still pending on those things. And I think eventually these things are going to get taken back by the leagues and they'll distribute them themselves and not have the middleman, because it has become a lot easier to be able to put this on. And Apple, I think, is doing a very fascinating case study into how this is going to work for, you know, any sport that's not basically the NFL, and how they're going to go about dealing with their sports rights here for the next 10 to 20 years.
Will Pelagic is with us here, voice of Charlotte FC. Charlotte FC in action Saturday, 9:30 against Real Salt Lake. Transitioning things to the Charlotte Hornets really quickly, because this is the last weekend of their season. They only have a couple of more games left. How would you sum up the Charlotte Hornets season?
Disappointing. I mean, I think you can't say anything other than that because of the fact that injury riddled as it was, I think there were some expectations for this team to take a next step during the season. Even with what happened with the Miles Bridges scenario during the offseason, I think there was always the potential for something to go forward. And I think the way they played during stretches of the second half, especially that little stretch where they won five games in a row and my hair got blue, et cetera, and so on. I feel like you at least saw glimpses of the kind of team that they can be. And, you know, independent of this this little run that they've had where they've had almost everybody injured, they were playing some pretty good defense. They had the number one defensive rating for a period of time that included 16 games where they were over 500, and they were actually putting forth the kind of effort that Steve Clifford wants to have. But, you know, so many injuries this year to LaMelo Ball and basically anybody who had any kind of repute on the team, especially now at this time of the year where basically the entire team is somewhat on the shelf. I do feel like there is a lot of urgency for this team to actually resemble something more positive, because there is going to be that chatter about whether or not LaMelo Ball signs a Supermax and whether or not you are going to go out and get pieces around him to actually become a contender. I think it's a pivotal offseason for the Hornets, and of course it all depends on how the ping pong balls go, because that obviously dictates a lot of the further direction that this franchise and organization is going to take, in addition to the conversations about whether or not the ownership will change, and that's still something that's still going right now on and still pending.
It'll be a big offseason for Charlotte. By the way, I will point out your hair was not processed blue. Wasn't
no it was something there. I was some sort of other blue. It was a L'Oreal blue, whatever it was.
Cornflower blue, maybe, to quote Fight Club, which we watched a week ago. Will Pelagic, I gotta throw this in here. Yes, today is a big day because it's the start of the Masters, and we've been spending a lot of time talking about round one and all that. It's a big day, it's a big month, because we're 3 weeks from the day away from the NFL draft, 3 weeks from tonight. But it's also a big day because it's Will Pelagic's 36th birthday?
Correct. Correct.
Wow. How are we celebrating?
So we've already done a little bit this week. We were actually we were in Raleigh on Sunday. We went to the Hurricanes Islanders game. That was pretty cool. Last night, we had a very nice dinner with a bunch of people from the Charlotte FC broadcast crew on both English and Spanish sides. That was pretty cool. A nice steakhouse in Charlotte. And tonight, we're going to be at the DPAC. We're going to see Les Mis tonight. So we'll be in your neck of the woods-ish.
Ish. That's right. We're the connective tissue between the Queen City and the Triangle. We kind of play middleman.
We'll be passing through, if you will.
People in Raleigh are saying, our breweries are better than yours. Yeah, but we got rooftop bars. We're like, hey, settle down. I said this
on the air this week. Aren't we all Carolina? Like, I'm not trying to be that kind of, you know, hokey and corny brotherhood type person. I know you can't say brotherhood because then it's North Carolina fans angry. But I'm just saying.
It's not processed blue that people think about.
I'm just saying, I feel that we all can basically get along. It's okay. Like Raleigh and Charlotte and the Triad, we all can coexist.
That's right. Here's the message I have to everybody. Triangle people, Triad people, Queen City people, trust the process blue. That's the message. Will Pelagic, happy birthday to you, friend. Thanks for doing this and have a great call on Saturday night.
Yeah, hopefully we can get ourselves 3 points and get you guys down there for a match next weekend, maybe.
WD, he's saying he wants in. Oh, man, we're going to make it happen. I think we're going to make it happen. All right, Will Pelagic, enjoy Les Mis. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Paper. It could be your water, Mike.
Oh, that's harsh.
More like hard water. Are you interested in smart, high-efficiency water softeners from Culligan Water?
Huh?
Want baby smooth skin and soft, luxurious hair?
Yeah, can you hurry? I have a date tonight.
We're already on the way, Mike. Let us help you out with the free in-home water test from a local Culligan Water expert at Culligan.com.
From the Augusta National Golf Club, Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the Masters. I'm Ted Emrick. Jason Day missed the Masters a year ago with a back injury. Now healthy and with a revamped swing, Day is surging in the first round.
Jason Day at 4 under par, 3 off the lead, putting for birdie.
Nice to see him playing well, fairly healthy. Tough putt here. It runs away from me at the end if you're not careful.
And he runs it in.
Unless the hole gets in the way, right?
But Jason Day to 5 under. That's back-to-back birdies. He's made 3 in his last 5 holes here, continuing his very, very good stretch of play over the last couple of weeks.
Mike Tirico and Steve Melnick, the call on SiriusXM. Yeah, the Aussie, Jason Day, entered the Masters with top 10 finishes in 6 of his last 7 starts. He's 5 under, in fact, with a par at 18, closing at 5 under. That's 2 off the lead. That's shared by Victor Hovland, John Rahm, and Brooks Koepka. You're listening to coverage of the 2023 Masters on Westwood One.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Time to get the show started, Kansas City.
The countdown is on for the 2023 NFL Draft. And greatness is on the clock. 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Kansas City.
There is the reaction. What a dream.
Watch live April 27th to 29th with NFL Network draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts April 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.
We had a bit of drizzle about an hour ago at Augusta National. Overcast skies at the moment with just around an hour to go in the first round. Let's check the leaderboard, sponsored by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Victor Hovland, John Rahm, and Brooks Koepka all shoot 7 under 65 today. Hovland didn't have a single bogey on his card. It's the first time he shot in the 60s in 13 career rounds at the Masters. Rahm overcame an opening double bogey to shoot 65. Koepka birdied 3 of the last 4 holes to reach that number. Two players at 5 under, 2 back, Cameron Young and Jason Day. Jordan Spieth has found water on 2 of the last 3 holes, made bogey at 11. Then Spieth dunked his second shot on the redesigned par 5 13th into the tributary of Race Creek in front of the green. Spieth ends up with double bogey there, now 1 under, 6 back. From Augusta, I'm Ted Emrick, Westwood One Sports.
Hey, Triad, this is Rich Eisen. Catch me this evening at 6 for the Rich Eisen Show. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
I believe this is the first ever Rhinestone Thursday. Still a lot of fun anyway. It's the end of our week because of Good Friday tomorrow. Enjoy it with your family. Remember the purpose of having Easter, and we'll be back with you on Monday. However and wherever you choose to listen to the show, it's greatly appreciated. Enjoy the rest of the Masters. Still rolling with my pick of Cameron Smith, but it was between him and Xander Schauffele. Those are the two that I like the most. But what a day for Rahm and for Brooks Koepka and for Victor Hovland. All right, let's belt it out before we take it to the house now. Here we go.
Like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse at a star-spangled rodeo. Like a rhinestone cowboy. getting cards and letters from people I don't even know. And offers coming over the phone.
Let's take it to the house.
Pass the 15, pass the 10, pass the 5 for the drive. We'll take it to the house.
1, 2, 3.
Brought to you by East Coast Wings and Grill. How great would this be? Good Friday or Saturday afternoon or Sunday. Grabbing some wangs and watching some golf at the same time while baseball's going on. Oh, sounds fantastic to me. And if you're listening to my voice right now, odds are there's an East Coast Wings and Grill somewhere nearby. Let's close things out. What do you got in taking to the house today?
A Michigan man was arrested by local authorities when he used a salmon as a weapon.
How did he do that? So just hit somebody with a fish?
A 4-pound salmon.
Oh, yeah. That can hurt.
Yeah, so he went to the grocery store at around 7:15 the other night, but for whatever the reason, the fish counter was closing at 7. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the clerk there was explaining this, and the guy did not like that answer. He wanted his fish.
Right now.
Right now. So he picks up a 4-pound salmon, hits the clerk over the head with the head of the salmon, knocks him out cold, and yeah, $5,000 bond. He was arrested, and there you go.
It's dangerous.
Happy Easter.
It's dangerous.
He just wanted a salmon for Easter dinner. That's all he wanted.
Do you have any Easter traditions?
Not like Christmas and those,
sure,
and Thanksgiving. Like I get together with my parents, and you know, we usually maybe have a turkey or some type of something.
We're trying something different this year. So as soon as we get off the air, like right now, my church actually is having a Thursday night service.
Yeah, I've never heard of a Thursday night service before. Wednesday, yes.
Which sounds great because, you know, opens up your Sunday a little, mm-hmm, bit. That's fine.
Yeah.
But also probably opens up seats at your church for that Sunday too, if you're a member somewhere. And also, if you're going out of town, like, as a lot of people do on Good Friday and on Saturday, you can go to your own church on Thursday. I like the idea. Let's normalize Thursday night church services. Let's do that. But we'll see. Apparently, talking to folks at church, like Sarah Bradford, she's probably in the process of saving me a spot right about now. Is it raining outside?
It is pouring.
Oh, no.
It's been kind of nasty for about the last 45 minutes.
Oh, boy. I haven't been outside the studio the last
time.
So this is going to be an interesting 30 minutes or so before I get to that church service and such. But let's normalize that because I think it's a good idea.
Doesn't your church have a Saturday service too?
I do.
That you were telling me about?
They do.
You go
and it's
to?
Popular and it's laid back.
It's like, right.
They encourage people like, hey, you could show up in shorts and stuff. Like, right? It's like casual. Here's the message. And also it's probably a dry run for the pastor too. Just to be like, all right, here's what I got. And then you can kind of, the second and third time you run through it on Sunday, it's probably better.
Yeah.
Shouts the two cities.
It's the pre-service. I don't know.
What?
The pre-service.
It's not a pre-service. Same message. Just different time of day. Right?
Just more polished on
Sunday. Same amount of Jesus, though.
Yeah.
That's right. Enjoy your Easter, however and wherever you celebrate, if you celebrate. And we'll talk to you again on Monday. Enjoy the golf. I know I will. This has been a Thursday Drive.